Welcome back to Inside College Basketball Now with John Rothstein. Pleased to be joined by Creighton head coach Alan Huss as part of our new coaches series. And Alan, welcome. Could you have imagined 25 years ago when you graduated from Creighton that Creighton would be in the Big East and you'd be the head coach?
No, I mean, you know, at that time I was trying to move on with my life. They were certainly trying to move on from me, and there were definitely not thoughts. Maybe if they were thoughts, somebody was keeping them private at that moment. That, you know, we were so excited at then in those days just to get an opportunity to crack at any high major opponent, whenever we could, wherever it was. And the idea that we'd be one of those schools that people were trying to schedule someday was far-fetched.
What has it been like for you to watch Creighton, your alma mater, become such a force and a known commodity on the national scene?
It's been fun. I think, you know, there's two parts to that. Number one, just the general success has been a lot of fun to be, you know, in some ways I've been able to contribute to that success, but then also just watching the fan base, you know, get kind of validation. I mean, people here have known for a long time how special Omaha is, how special Creighton basketball is, how special Creighton is. Be able to share that with the rest of the basketball world has been a lot of fun for a lot of our folks, and validating in a lot of ways too. Just a lot of hard work that's gone in from so many different people to make this a reality.
Why is the relationship between the Creighton basketball program and the city of Omaha such a perfect marriage?
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I think we filled a void in a lot of ways. You know, Creighton is, or Nebraska just in general, has always been kind of a football place. Obviously, there's been success in the University of Nebraska in football for so long, and the fan base there is passionate. But for the people in Omaha, especially the Catholic community in Omaha, which is large, you know, I think it's been a fun outlet to have our little school, you know, in Omaha, Nebraska, be able to go out there and compete against anyone.
So you move forward, and you are now getting ready to begin your first season as a head coach at the Power Conference level. But I'm curious, you left High Point after great success to come back and be the head coach in waiting at Creighton. What was it like last season being an assistant coach again after running your own program a couple of years prior?
I mean, it's different, especially because, you know, in this business, we're so hands-on and always moving forward that sometimes you forget which ideas were yours, which ideas came from an assistant at High Point, which ones were the actual ideas that we had from Creighton. And so just trying to get reacclimated with all the things we did here at Creighton was different. Obviously, we didn't have the success we wanted this season. And so, you know, you had that piece of it that was a little bit different, not experiencing success at the level that we would have liked. But it was different. I mean, that's the best way I can say it. That was fun to kind of dive back into the offensive side of the basketball and be able to be a little bit more creative than I was able to the prior couple of years, just when I had kind of pushed some of that stuff off on assistant coaches. And it's probably the last piece of it's fun to reconnect with the guys on just a little more informal level that you're able to when you're up where you're assistant coach as opposed to the head man.
Yeah. How long did you expect Coach McDermott to coach when you decided to come back as head coach in waiting?
I didn't know exactly. You know, I knew that he was tired of it. You know, and when I say it, that's probably not correct. He's tired of certain things that come along with college basketball coaching in 2026. And yep. He had made that opinion known not only publicly, but privately to me and others that that he talks to in the coaching business, that he wasn't certain how much time he had left. And so I knew that the days were numbered. I didn't know exactly when, how, why he would do it. But I knew it was coming sooner rather than later.
When did Coach McDermott tell you that he was retiring?
Probably 2 or 3 days before we went public with it. You know, we had a number of talks during the season where he just kind of gave me status updates from time to time. But for the most part, you know, we just tried to kind of keep it business as usual and didn't go there. And I certainly didn't put him on the spot very often when it came to this stuff. I wanted him to think about our team and how we could try to get this thing right.
And now that you're in the midst of it, is the transition much more seamless when you're already entrenched in the program and taking over versus when you go to another program like you did at High Point and take over and literally start from scratch?
I mean, there's certain ways that both those are a little bit easier and a little bit just kind of sometimes the blank slate. You know, even though it's all hands on deck and everyone's going crazy, and it just you feel like you're just surviving most days. You know, in some ways, it makes it simpler than trying to you know, retrofit something. It's maybe a little bit like building a new house as opposed to remodeling one.
Yeah.
You know, you get a lot of good pieces that are around here that just might need to be repurposed in a certain way or utilized slightly differently. And you know, having those conversations with people that you know, I've developed relationships with over the better part of a decade. That's a little bit of a challenge, but you know, ultimately, there's certainly a lot more positives than there are negatives in a situation like this.
Now, you left a really good mid-major program in High Point to go back to Creighton and be the head coach in waiting. High Point obviously was a major story in the first round of last year's NCAA tournament, pulling an upset over Wisconsin. Did you feel any buyer's remorse watching High Point beat Wisconsin, knowing that you obviously laid the foundation at that program?
Yeah, especially, I mean, the way the timing worked out, I kind of stayed through the recruiting process at the end of this with all but one or two of those guys. And so getting to know them, they're, you know, the guys, that's the part of it. Like those guys that were returning, you know, getting to have a healthy Chase Johnson, a healthy Terry Anderson would have been fun. Watching those guys have those years that they had, it would have been fun. So there was on days when they were really winning, maybe there's a little bit, but I think whatever buyer's remorse I did have was quickly put off by just how excited I was for Flynn and, you know, his opportunity and just watching him take advantage and capitalize in every way, shape or form to the foundation that had been laid. And just, it was quickly replaced by just that. I like those guys. I like that administration, that university, those people. Just I've got great relationships there and so happy to watch it continue.
What's the biggest difference in being Creighton's head coach versus being High Point's head coach?
There's an expectation here of success. And, you know, I think Flynn is stepping into that space now. Maybe we would have a little bit last season, but the one thing we hadn't had a ton of at High Point was sustained success in men's basketball. And Dr. Cobain has an expectation just kind of internally of success and whatever that they try to do there. But for the last, you know, 3.5 decades or so, there hasn't been a ton of sustained success there. And so it's just a completely different world when you walk into a deal with the expectations were to do well and to live up to everything we had been given from a facility and a support standpoint. Here, that's a little bit different. You know, 30 years, 3 decades of just elite basketball through two coaches and two conferences and so many changes. When you start thinking about where this deal was in the mid 90s when Coach Altman took over, late 90s when Coach Altman took over to where it is now. I mean, college basketball has been turned on its head and Creighton has been good the entire way through. So, you know, we've got a fan base, an administration, the city here that all expect us to be good. And, you know, that comes with a whole different set of responsibilities. And, you know, you feel like it's on me now and it's on our staff now, it's on our team now to live up to those standards that have been set for, like I said, for 3 decades.
You referenced Dana Altman, who was at Creighton before he went to Oregon. What are the biggest elements from him that you are going to incorporate now into your team here at Creighton?
Yeah, I think for me, I mean, coaches influenced every part of my coaching journey. I mean, even looking back at the high school level, we used to try to do what they did offensively when I was a high school coach. And we've always used elements of what they do defensively. Of course, the game's evolved. And when I played for coach, it was a different looking different looking system. We pressed almost the entire 40 minutes, a variety of different presses. But I think as the game's gotten more skilled, you know, he's shifted kind of his defensive focus. I think we're probably a little more aligned with where he is. But he influences everything. I think in a lot of ways, just when I came to college in fall of 97 and we started just talking about the value of the drive and kick. I mean, a lot of ways we had figured out expected shot value without necessarily jumping in and properly labeling it and, you know, talking about what we valued as a program. I think we were in a lot of ways trendsetters, as shooting the three-point shot the way we did, and skill, and having four and five players out there that call dribble, pass, and shoot. So, you know, I mean, Coach touches everything that I do every day, and I feel so incredibly fortunate to have been coached by Coach Altman, and then to coach under Coach Mack, because they're both so incredibly successful, but in such different ways. And I think just grabbing bits and pieces from both of them has really helped shape me and put me on a path towards success at different times.
Well, that brings me to my next question. How similar is Creighton basketball under Alan Huss going to look compared to Creighton basketball under Greg McDermott?
I mean, I hope it looks pretty similar. I mean, we've obviously had a lot of success under Coach Mack for the last decade and a half. And my aim would be to, if you walk in and you see the caliber play, that it certainly doesn't dip. You know, we'll do a few things differently, but as I've talked about a number of times since I've taken this job over, the subtle changes we will make are all things that we've talked about at length, and we haven't necessarily pivoted those ways the last couple of years, but they've been on Mac's mind. And I think I've said this to a number of people, the way Mac was able to reinvent himself a couple of times, you know, he was a walk the ball up the court, run a set play, off ball action. The next time it was a counter, the next time that was a counter after counter to the counter. And, you know, he was really playing chess. And then, you know, a decade ago, he opened it up and went to this wide open, let it fly deal. And, you know, I think he was probably on the verge, had he stayed in this, of maybe changing some different things defensively. And these are some things we've talked about in-house a lot. We hadn't made the change in these areas yet, but I think they're probably things that would happen inevitably just with the way basketball has changed in the last, you know, 4 or 5 years.
Alan, what are your thoughts on the roster you've put together for next season?
Yeah, I mean, like everyone, we've got some new, we've got some old. I'm happy with the guys we're able to retain. There are probably one or two more of them I wish I could have retained, but it's just the economic realities of 2026 college basketball don't allow you to keep everyone you want.
Yeah.
But I like our guys. I think we've added pieces that that fit with what we're trying to do. I think we've addressed our need for rim protection, an area that we really struggled in this past season on the defensive side of the basketball. I think we've got a couple of guys that culturally will really fit with what we're trying to do, and will get us kind of back into that space. When you think about how and why Creighton's been successful over the years, it's been continuity, it's been skill, and it's been unselfishness. And I think as we tried to assemble this class, we really tried to, as best we could, to not deviate from that methodology and that model. And I think we were fairly successful. And I think maybe the most beautiful piece of this entire deal is, you know, we talk about how it's going to look the same. You look at whether it's Caden, Bug Edwards, whether it's Oswin, whether it's Wes Enos. These are all guys that had all gone through the recruiting process here at Creighton in the past. Didn't go our way, but we felt like we put our best foot forward with them in years past, had an existing relationship. And I think that's just another way that Coach Mack continues to touch this program.
Yeah, it's different talking to you than other new head coaches because you were in the program last year. So you have a different obvious feel with the personnel you're going to coach. Of the players that are coming back from last season for Creighton, who do you think will make the biggest jump forward?
I mean, I think we have got a whole series of guys that need to. I think we all feel like Jackson McAndrew was ready to make that jump prior to his foot injury last season that cost him last season. You know, he was already a guy that was, you know, a prolific three-point shooter, spacer at 6'10 with a plus wingspan. But now he's up north to 230 pounds now. He's moving better than he's ever moved. He's healthy finally. So I think we have to start with Jack. He's got to go ahead and make the jump that we all thought he was going to make last season. You know, and then you look at that other core group. I mean, you got guys like Austin Swartz and Hudson Greer and Jason Green that and I think you could probably throw Isaac Trout in there too. All those guys played more minutes in a different role last season than they had ever played before. So hopefully they've settled into that. The newness, they've gotten past the newness than the just what happens to every Division I basketball player when they make that jump. It's everything's fast until it's not. And so the game's kind of slow down for those guys. They've got to take a step both mentally and physically this year. And I think each of them is poised for a big summer. Just going off the last couple of weeks we've had, I think, Jason Green, Hudson Greer, those two in particular really have popped the last couple of weeks. I think they're feeling it. And as those other guys get healthy, I think you're going to see, we're going to have a whole group that makes a jump forward.
So Jackson McAndrew is fully clear, full go, ready to play.
Yeah, we're limiting 5-on-5 stuff right now, but he's letting it rip. I mean, he's contact and been full speed right now, and by the time we start back in June, he'll be full go with very, very little modifications to his workouts daily.
Well, that is obviously some major news for the Big East because he's an all-conference player if he's healthy.
Not all electric vehicles are designed the same. Toyota Electric is built to work for you. Grounded in years of proven engineering, it feels intuitive from the start. The Toyota BZ for smooth, everyday driving. The BZ Woodland for all-terrain capability. The all-new CHR for an instant, responsive drive. It's not just electric, it's Toyota Electric. We make it easy. Toyota, let's go places.
Obviously, non-conference scheduling, a big part of making the NCAA tournament. You guys have always been very aggressive in that regard. You've got multiple games in the Players Era Festival. You're obviously going to host Gonzaga and Nebraska. You also have the back end of a series at Kansas State. Is there anything else of note for Creighton on the docket for 26-27?
Yeah, there's one other one. I think it's been leaked all over social media now. I don't know. Maybe we're not talking about it yet, but there'll be another regional opponent, I think, on a neutral floor that'll have some of the local people excited. I think it's floated around on social media yet, but it'll be announced sometime soon. But I think we've challenged ourselves with the schedule, hopefully not too much. So with the Players Era, I think we're in a really challenging side of that bracket. Now that's going more to bracket style play. So we'll get three opponents there that'll be challenging. Obviously, what Coach Alexander was able to do at Belmont, they're going to slide that over, and that'll be an interesting game early in the season against Kansas State with a new staff, similar to us, but obviously their methods have proven very successful over the years, as Belmont's been one of the best with majors in the country. Then you mentioned the Gonzaga deal. Obviously, they'll be right as good as anybody in the country with the transfers they've added and the freshmen returners. So it'll be challenging. Obviously, the folks down the road in Lincoln just had a year for the ages, and I'm certain that they're going to be greedy and want some more. So we'll have challenged ourselves in the non-conference schedule as much as anybody in the league, and I would argue probably as much as anyone in the country when Big East play starts in the turn of the year here.
And that other regional game you referenced, that's Iowa.
Again, I think it's out there enough. We can probably say it's. I think it's going to happen.
Yeah, you're the head coach now, man. So you set the rules. It's interesting. We're going to a 32-game schedule. You already have the 20 built-in games in the Big East. So now that there's 32 games, what do you think is the right number of power conference games to have on the slate?
Probably less than we play, but I think we only I don't even know how many we have, but too many. I don't know. I mean, at the end of the day, I think kids get excited to play those big time games. Obviously, the Players Era, you walk around out there, you see the who's who of collegiate basketball in the building, and you see them around the hotel. So that one's fun early in the season to find out where you stand. And then the rest of that stuff's pretty regional, with the exception of Gonzaga, who's a Jesuit peer. So it's fun to measure ourselves against them too. But yeah. I don't know. I don't have the answer. We'll leave those up to Marcus Blossom and the rest of the crew here to figure out where we need to play and who we need to play. We'll try to get our guys ready to play whenever they schedule them.
Alan, the Big East has only had three teams in the NCAA tournament in two of the last three seasons. The NCAA tournament is well documented, is going to feature 76 teams moving forward. With these additional spots right now, these additional seven at-large spots, how imperative is it for the Big East to at least double its representation moving forward in March Madness?
I mean, I think like everyone, we're trying to jockey for position in this ever-changing landscape. And so, you know, I mean, it's important every year that you don't capitalize, you just fall further and further behind. So I think the beautiful thing is I genuinely believe that that our administrations across the league have upped their commitment financially. And I think we fell behind a little bit as a league with a few exceptions. And I think we've corrected that now. And I think probably even equally important or more important, as I look around, and I won't pretend to be an expert on everyone's roster in the league, but you casually watch the announcements of players. I think our league's coaches have done an incredible job of being intentional and finding pieces that fit their respective systems. And I think you're going to find that the Big East is going to be not just up a little bit, it's going to be way up. I think it's going to be right back to where it's been for the past decade, which is amongst the best conferences in college basketball.
With 76 teams, with 11 Big East teams, what number do you think represents quality representation in March Madness for the league?
I mean, I think we'd have to be greedy and say we need 6 or 7.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. I'm always curious in doing this as long as I have, how coaches hold on to their tough losses more than they appreciate their great wins. So for you in your career, either as a head coach or an assistant coach, give me one great win that stands out among from the rest, and also give me one really tough loss that you can't seem to shake.
Oh, gosh. I mean, probably going to the NCAA tournament at High Point, we'll put that as a great win just because we had kind of got the monkey off our back there. We should have got it done in year one and didn't. And being able to do that in year two, I'd have to say that one. Loss I can't shake. And shout out to Rob Fulford, who's an assistant now at Charleston. He's been around a little bit. He was the head coach at Huntington Prep. Ended my high school prep school coaching career. Jaquan Lyle banked in about a 42-footer. Banked one in off a kind of double clutch on a side out of bounds play to beat us in my last ever high school basketball coach game at Christ the King High School in the Geico. I think it was Geico. It's now that whatever's now it's called now the Chipotle Nationals, but that tournament. So yeah, shout out to Rob for crushing my spirits there and sending me to the University of New Mexico shortly thereafter.
I did not have that on my bingo card. Final thing, Alan, what are the biggest things you want to accomplish in year one as head coach of your alma mater next season?
Yeah, I mean, things that are difficult to quantify mostly. We want to make sure we keep culture intact. We want to make sure that we're the hardest working, hardest playing team, toughest team. And I think those are all pretty process oriented things. We spend the most time in the gym. We're as physical as we can possibly be. We're as tough as we can possibly be. We control those processes. We feel like we'll be skilled enough then on the backside of that to win more than we should. And I think that's not super sexy goals, but those are kind of process driven goals that I think we can execute on. And if we're able to do those things, I think we'll like the results.
Well, Alan, it's going to be a lot of fun to cover. Congratulations on the job. Really appreciate a couple of minutes. Know how busy you are, and as always, important to staying connected along the way.
Thanks, John.
You got it. That's Creighton head coach Alan Huss. I'm John Rothstein, and this is Inside College Basketball Now.